A couple of months ago, I spoke with Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory about their film Vanya on 42nd Street and about their earlier film collaboration, My Dinner with Andre, in which they played themselves having a dinner conversation. We're going to hear an expanded version of the interview that we broadcast in October. Let's start with a clip from Vanya on 42nd Street with Wally Shawn in the role of Vanya. Vanya feels cheated by life. For 25 years, he's been stuck managing the family estate for his brother-in-law, taking only a small wage while sending large sums to the brother-in-law, a professor who travels and thinks lofty thoughts. Vanya grows bitter as he thinks about how little he's accomplished in life. He's become disillusioned with his political convictions. In this scene, Vanya is with his mother and niece. His mother warns him that he's becoming a changed man.
Excuse me, Jean, but you have changed so much since last year. I hardly know you. You used to be a man of character. A man of fine opinions, an enlightened man now.
Oh, yes. I was so enlightened, it's unfortunate I lit the way for no one. An enlightened man. What worse could you say about me? I'm 47 years old. Up until 1 year ago, I thought exactly the same way you did. I joyed to cloud my mind with this rank scholasticism that we all hold so dear, out to see real life. I knew that I was doing right. What a fine man. Now, if you'll excuse me, if you only knew.
How can we know if you don't tell us?
I spend my nights in a vicious fury at the life I've let slip away from me. I could have enjoyed everything in life. I could have enjoyed everything. I enjoyed nothing. Now I'm too old.
Uncle, it's so depressing.
Are you blaming your former convictions? What you say is not the fault of your convictions. It's your fault! It's your own fault! Convictions by themselves are nothing. Like paint on a palette. It's you who should have been working. You who should have been using them doing real work.
A real work?
Yes!
Well, not everyone is called, you know, like our hair professor, to go speaking and writing and spewing work forth like some farm machine.
What do you mean by that?
Grandmother, Uncle Vanya, please.
I'm sorry. I'm done. I am silent. Excuse me.
Doing a play like Chekhov's Uncle Vanya, but doing it in an updated form. I think of you both as being pretty experimental and adventurous in your approaches to theater. And I'm curious about what interests you in taking something that's, you know, a classic from another century and bringing it into the present, as opposed to something that's just really from the present, something that's more experimental or avant-garde?
Well, certainly there's a technical challenge to say lines that were written, say, 85 years ago or whatever, and say them so that it really is something that you are saying today.
Mm-hmm. Could you not do it straight? I mean, you're working with the David Mamet adaptation, which is pretty contemporary sounding. If you were to take an older translation and to do it as a classic without any updating, Wally, do you think you could act in something like that? Do you have the sensibility for that type of classic theater?
Well, you know, Mamet's translation I think if you were to read it.
Is it really pretty close?
Yeah.
You would not, it's not brought up to date. It's just put into English that is not slangy or contemporary. It's just put into, you know, modern English in a way that is very speakable. Mm-hmm. I mean, most translations are bad because they contain words or phrases that may literally convey what was in the original, but which no human being would ever actually say to another human being. It is practically impossible for a contemporary actor to make it totally believable to say, But my dear Mrs. Elvsted, don't you see, my dear? We don't behave in such a way. Am I right, eh? This is the type of translation language that it's not good writing. It's not good English, really. Mm-hmm. It's not idiomatic. It's not the way anybody talks. So you can never say that line with total conviction.
Andre, what about your interest in taking classic theater, even though you're a kind of experimentalist by sensibility?
Well, now that I'm old, I've become a classicist. Well, you see, I don't think of Vanya as in any way old or a classic. You know, there were a lot of playwrights and writers who came to see us when we were doing it for small groups, you know, like John Guare, Michael Weller, people like that, who were staggered by how modern this play is.
I think that the idea of, first of all, the idea of a classic play, in a way, is a contradiction in terms. The play is supposed to mean something today. That's what theater is really about. But people lay on top of Chekhov a fake layer of so-called classicism, where people are, let's say, indulging themselves in drifting into a dream of some idealized world of the past. I don't want to insult. It's very hard to be blunt without insulting people. So let's just say that we've all enjoyed masterpiece theater work, I'm sure. I certainly have. But that wasn't what Chekhov was imagining that he was a masterpiece, or a kind of marvelous world of the past where people would wear wonderful costumes and people would look at it and say, oh, isn't it wonderful they didn't have sex back then. It's not really about that. I mean, Chekhov was, you know, crawling through the mud, writing the truth about the world as he was able to, and it really has nothing to do with drifting into a beautiful fantasy about the past. So that classical thing is laid on top of it, and so we're just not laying it on top of it.
That's why it's Vanya on 42nd Street.
Right.
My guests are Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory. They collaborated on the new film, Vanya on 42nd Street. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with Andre Gregory and Wally Shawn. Why is Wally such a perfect match for the role of Vanya?
Well, I just can't imagine anyone else in the world playing it. You look at Wally, and just in his presence, you know that he has a very, very fine mind. And Vanya, I think, has a very fine mind.
I think Andre is inhibited a little bit because of my presence from, let's face it, let's just say there's a big, there's a lot of bitterness that I can easily tap. And rage, bitterness, resentment. Sometimes it's in quotes, and sometimes I really feel it.
Vanya is about people who are disappointed in life and for the most part don't accept any responsibility for the emptiness of their own lives. And I'm wondering if you both often ask yourselves if you're happy and if you have any sense of what being sufficiently happy is. You know how sometimes you ask yourself, am I happy? Well, am I happy enough? Should I be more happy? Are other people happier than I am? Do you ask yourselves these questions a lot?
Well?
Well, I'll answer it, but then you have to. To speak of the play first, I'm trying to play Vanya as someone who does not accept his own misery. And even his bitterness is a form of struggle against it. And yes, I myself have. I figure that I've been given every privilege that a person could possibly have been given, and I've had all the luck that a person could possibly have. So if I'm not enjoying it, it's absolutely pitiful. I mean, there was a time when I felt that I really didn't deserve to be happy, so why should I be? And now I'm more in a mood of thinking that if I'm not happy, who possibly could be? So it's bad luck to say it, maybe, but I got sick of being miserable and very bored with that. And now I feel I somehow accept the idea of enjoying myself more than I did.
Andrew, what about you?
Well, I think Wally just said a very important word, which is the word I accept for me, because, you know, we talk a lot about being happy or sad, when in fact, I think in any given day, if we really paid attention to what was going on in ourselves, we would find that we were exquisitely happy, despairing, insane from moment to moment, that this changes. But there are these lines in Vanya when, in the last act, Vanya's saying, "What am I going to do with my life? Give me some pain, you know, some painkillers. How am I going to get through the next 13 years?" And the doctor says, "Oh, shut up." He says, "This that you're living is your life." And, you know, I remember some years back, my wife was quite ill, and somebody said to me, "This must be incredibly hard for you." And it was incredibly hard, but at the same time, you know, I said to them that when I was in college, my first year, I did nothing but play poker all the time. And when you play poker, anybody can win with four queens or a full house. The art of living is really playing with a bad hand if you're not living in a ghetto.
Well, Andre, when you talk about accepting what you've been given, there was a time when you had left the theater, you dropped out of the theater and you went on this like spiritual search, going to India and the Sahara, looking for some spiritual meaning in life. Would you do something like that at this point in your life, or is all of that behind you?
No, it's not. It's not behind me, because I think I'm still some kind of a seeker. But I've come around to the Wally character's point of view in my dinner with Andre. That you don't have to go to the Himalayas or the top of a mountain to do it. That, gee, I don't know if you remember those lines.
This is the cigar store part where Wally's arguing you could find all of the world, all of reality,
yes,
just in the neighborhood cigar store.
Absolutely.
You don't have to climb to the top of Mount Everest find what life means.
I think you do it. I think you can do it within yourself, working on yourself, and that you don't have to go, that the journey can be an inner journey. Well, so I still, yes?
I was going to say, Wally, what about you? Do you still uphold your part of the argument about the cigar store?
Well, not really, because the guy who made the cigars or who was growing the tobacco is probably, you can't learn about that guy from being in the cigar store. So I sort of now feel that there are certain facts about the world and how the world works that you need to travel and study about to learn about. I mean, the way the world works as a political entity is not necessarily visible just from your own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you both about your fathers. I don't know if this was this has been a big issue for either of you in your lives, but you
oh, come on, Terry.
Well, your father was the late William Shawn, who was the revered editor of The New Yorker. Andre, I know very little about your father, but I do know that he was a wealthy man, I believe. I think from real estate, and there were a lot of celebrated people who used to hang around your home. So do you think that in the early parts of your lives, your direction was determined in any way because of your father's either to please them or to avoid them or whatever?
Well, I think I was, I thought I was in, you know, in rebellion against my father and a lot of what he stood for. Proust said that the older you get, as you get older, you start to get shocked by how much you suddenly resemble your father. I used to be very angry with him. He was quite an absent father. He worked very hard and he wasn't around very much. But I think that on some level, my perception of art, of being an artist, was originally influenced by him because he was somebody who always made something out of nothing. He had an amazing political nose. He left Russia a year before Stalin came to power and he went to Germany. He left Germany the day Hitler came to power and went to Paris. He left Paris some weeks before the Germans went into Poland and went to London. He left London just as the Blitz was about to begin and came to Scarsdale. When he was in his early 80s, quite disturbingly, he said, if I was young now, I'd leave America. but he had this gift for inventing out of nothing. In other words, every country that he went to, he would lose all the money that he'd had before, and he'd have to make it all over again. And he was in commercial dye stuffs, buttons, furs. He and Trotsky, during the new economic policy, the period in Russia is somewhat similar to what's going on now, sort of semi-capitalism. He and Trotsky had the fur concession to the United States. So he was always quite mysteriously to me making something out of nothing, which is what I have to do. Vanya opens this week and then I have nothing. I have to sort of reinvent it all. Also, he suffered from the age of 50, he suffered from very severe manic depression, so that all winter he'd be lying in bed crying and all summer he'd be in this manic state. And most of my work, my really good work, Alice in Wonderland, My Dinner with Andre and Vanya, and other works have had to do with how close can you come to insanity and still return, which is what he did because he died a relatively peaceful man. So I think he had a strong influence on me.
Interesting. Wally, do you want to talk about that at all? Or?
Well, you know, it's too boring. I talk about nothing else because people do ask me about it, and I don't know. I would have to give a long lecture on it that would possibly not even interest me, but certainly couldn't interest you.
Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory, they collaborated on the new film Vanya on 42nd Street. We'll hear more with Shawn and Gregory on the second part of our show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross with the second part of our interview with Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory. They collaborated on the new film, Vanya on 42nd Street. It's a filmed version of Gregory's production of Uncle Vanya, with Shawn in the role of Vanya. Shawn and Gregory also collaborated on the 1981 film, My Dinner with Andre. Pauline Kael described My Dinner with Andre as a mad tea party about the meaning of life. The movie is a dinner conversation between the two men. Andre Gregory tells Wally Shawn why he dropped out of the theater to go on a spiritual quest that led him across the desert and through the forest. Wally Shawn is captivated but baffled by the exotic search, explaining he takes comfort in the smaller pleasures of life, like staying home with a cup of coffee. You know, since both of you have done a lot of things to kind of understand, you know, quote, the meaning of life in a spiritual and political way, I'm wondering if either of you ever related to the religions you were born into, if that ever played a significant part in your lives.
Well, my answer is so simple. Yours will be more complicated. Well, my parents were atheists. They were, you know, Jewish, but they didn't accept any part of a Jewish identity. I mean, they didn't deny it or hide from it, but they They showed no interest in it, allegiance to it. They left Chicago, where the relatives still had some tenuous or large connection to the religion, and where if you met the relatives, you would immediately certainly know that they were Jewish. And they came to New York and were just sort of neutral. And I don't know, I was raised as an atheist. I wasn't raised as an atheist. I wasn't drilled in atheism.
You had an atheist rite of passage and went to atheist conventions. Part of the atheist culture, the atheist community.
Exactly. No, I just, you know, I wasn't raised with any religion, and I still don't really get it, you know, as far as religion goes. I simply don't, it rings no bell with me, except for the strange fact that I'm consistently drawn to religious people. And
do you envy them that they could find some kind of meaning in things that you haven't been able to find it?
No, I don't feel that even for one second. But I do feel it's a fact that very frequently when I really like somebody, I then find out that secretly they're quite religious, or maybe they're even, secretly working for some church or other. And of course, I've always been drawn to religious music, religious painting. I myself don't really get it. And as far as the Jewish thing goes, I suppose that some people would say that I'm slightly running away from the whole thing. I more feel that it really, the cord has been cut, so that for me to become involved with the Jewish background in a certain way it wouldn't be connecting to my roots so much as just starting something completely new.
Andre, what about your relationship to the religion of your parents? Was that Judaism also?
That's complicated, yeah. My father grew up very poor in a Lithuanian shtetl, and my mother came from a very sophisticated Jewish family in Moscow. Her father was one of Stalin's lawyers and then got sent to Siberia by Stalin. They were Jews who could pass in Moscow and belonged to the yacht club. And my mother was sort of a social climber, I think. So when we came to the United States because of the Second World War, she baptized my brother and me in the Greek Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox faith. Not that we ever went, and then we got sent to these very WASPy schools where I passed as a WASP so well that I sort of am kind of like a character out of a Pete Gurney play. I'm as WASPy in a certain way as they come. And then when I went to boarding school, I became an Episcopalian because everybody else was an Episcopalian. And also, I think I always had not a religious bent, but a spiritual bent, which I think is different because I think religious people feel they've got the answer. Spiritual people keep losing what they thought was an answer last week. I sort of got back. I started putting my toes into Judaism, partly because I wanted to be able to get rid of the anti-Semite that lives in me, because I went to all these WASP schools where they hated Jews. They looked down on Jews. So I do too. I did too. I was offered a role in a Neil Simon play on Broadway that wasn't very good, and I couldn't make up my mind whether or not to do it. I was in complete conflict about it. Part of me had fantasies of winning a Tony, and other parts said, don't do this. So somebody told me about this great analyst who could help you make your mind up on decisions very quickly. So I went to see this guy, and I was telling him, that my mother lumped prostitutes, actors, and psychiatrists into one group. They were the pits. They were, that was as low as you could get to be one of those three. So he said, do the role. And I said, why? And he said, well, you'd be playing a psychiatrist in the Neil Simon play, you'd be an actor, and you'd be prostituting yourself, so do it. And I was so impressed by this guy that as I was leaving his office, I said, well, shall I come back and see you next week? He said, no, I can't do anything with you. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, until you face the fact that you're a Jew, until you deal with that, there's some part of you that I could never get at. And that made a very deep impression on me.
My guests are Andre Gregory and Wally Shawn. They collaborated on the new film Vanya on 42nd Street. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory. It strikes me that you've both been in some movies or even TV shows or plays that were so unlike what your own body of work is about. Well, Andre, for you, I'm thinking of like Neil Simon's Broadway comedy Rumours.
How about Demolition Man?
Good example.
Let's trace the similarities.
And I mean, Wally, you've been on TV shows like Murphy Brown, Deep Space Nine. Well, Murphy Brown, God, I mean, that's Louis Malle's wife who stars in that, so I could see the connection. Deep Space Nine, Heaven Help Us. I'm just picking out things that seem really out of character to you. So I'm wondering, when you're in like a TV show or a Broadway comedy or a mainstream movie that's really like outside of your sensibility, do you try to like fit it and have fun with it, or do you feel like an alien during it?
I love it. You know, being on a movie set with a trailer and all these interesting people to meet and all of that food and a completely different way of life. I mean, that's more exciting for me than going to Provence for a holiday. It's partly a holiday. I love it. It's very different. Also, it's the only way, it seems, I can make money. In these last few years, I've had to, you know, find a way to keep Vanya going. I love being in a place that I'm really uncomfortable, you know.
No, why would you love that?
I don't know. I shouldn't say I love it. It scares the hell out of me. It does scare the hell out of me. But for some reason, I have to keep being in the unknown. I don't like it. And for me to be in a Neil Simon comedy on Broadway is stranger for me than wandering around the desert with a Japanese monk on a camel. That's stranger. And my father, who hated the fact that I was in the theater, you know, because it just didn't seem like work. And I remember on something like his 80th birthday, I'd never asked him. He just didn't get me, that part of me. I'd never asked him about his grandfather. And for some reason, I said, who was your grandfather? And he lit up into this big smile. He said, oh, Chaim. Chaim, what a beautiful man Chaim was. And I said, what did he do? And my father said with great pride, he did nothing. He was a learner. And which was a very distinguished thing to do back then. So on some level, I'm a learner. I love to learn. And you do learn generally, mostly, when you're in an uncomfortable situation. So I've liked it.
Well, is it uncomfortable for you when you're in something that's very mainstream and outside your sensibility?
Well, during the time that I'm doing the thing, it is often a wonderful relief for me, because I don't always enjoy carrying my own sensibility around with me all the time. Sometimes it's not that much fun. And it's a wonderful thing for me to be able to drop it. And it is disturbing. Because there is this idea that you should be one person, And obviously, if, for instance, if others know you in a way that is wildly different from the way that you think that you know yourself, it does present a problem in regard to your identity. I mean, people come up to me on the street and tell me who I am, and I'm learning something from that. They literally say, "You're the guy from The Princess Bride. You're the guy who says inconceivable in The Princess Bride." And that's information. I'm asking the question, who am I? And someone comes up to me on the street and tells me who I am, but the information is not anything that I would have guessed myself when I was asking who am I to myself. So that can become very complicated.
Because of the film My Dinner with Andre, is there always a lot of pressure on you in public to have meaningful conversations with everybody you run into?
Well, you probably get the feeling from this program, because here we are on radio and our task is to speak. But I think in my own life now, I speak much less after My Dinner with Andre. I used to have to be the center of attention all the time. I was always telling everybody stories, and I never shut my mouth. And now if I start doing that, except on a program like this where you'd like me to speak, I start feeling that I'm a character in a movie called My Dinner with Andre and not me, so I just keep my mouth shut.
Wally, what about you?
I don't feel this pressure that, people don't expect meaningful conversation from me, and they don't get any.
Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory recorded in October. They collaborated on the new film, Vanya on 42nd Street. This is Fresh Air.